Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful saving name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who takes up the little ones in his arms to bless them. Amen. Job presents himself, even as one with a fallen nature, as nevertheless righteous and innocent in the text from Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27, which I now share with you. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know the story of this godly man. He was a man of prayer and a man of faith, but he was also overwhelmed by the seeming injustice of his terrible suffering. What had he done to deserve it? Thus, it was for him a burning priority to find some way to defend his integrity. Who would stand for the innocent? Who will stand for the innocent? I imagine that if the holy innocents could speak, that they might sound as Job. We probably grossly underestimate their energy and, dare I say, their passion for life, even in the womb. John, while in the womb and in close proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the same time was himself in the womb, had a faith which caused him to leap for joy even in the womb of Elizabeth. His life in the womb was uncontainable. But the Lord is always near to each of us. Indeed, who else but Jesus knits us together in our mother's womb, as the psalmist says in Psalm 139. The Lord is near, and especially present with the weak. We must be bolder in this confession and not underestimate the grace of God, who delights to be found in things that are treated as nothing in the world. Nothing is more dignified in the eyes of God than what is despised in the world. And nothing is holier in the eyes of God than what is forgotten by the world. So I hear the baby speaking as Job. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that they, with an iron pen and lead, were engraved in the rock forever. My heart faints within me. The innocent ones created for life deserve at the very least what our great nation has done and is doing for so many others neglected. One of the recent exhibits in the magnificent Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., highlights the civil rights movement and presents an overview about so many who have been vindicated in this country. The powerful testament to defend the inalienable rights of those treated as if despised is a hallmark of American history. That same Library of Congress is marked by the word theology on the ceiling of the Great Hall, which displays two monumental copies of the very Word of God, the giant Bible of Mainz and the Gutenberg, the last great Bible that was written by hand and the first great Bible that was printed off the printing press. We are primed to speak of the right thing to do, as our president has spoken, because truth, the very word of God, is etched into stone throughout our nation's capital. So I was not surprised when our president, who we are called to love and pray for, said in the last State of the Union address, quote, "In America, we respect human dignity," unquote. But the statement betrays our narrow view because the babies are left out. So much so that they don't even have their own designation as people who need to be defended. They are the forgotten citizens as our politics replace the rights of the unborn with the right to choose. And we do not point fingers. As an LCMS pastor, I have done very little to speak for the unborn. And as self-absorbed sinners, we would rather remain quiet and not get into it than live out true faith that is dying to remember the forgotten. We desperately need to pray that the Lord would open our lips so that we would speak up for the helpless ones. We must confess our terrible pride, which seeks to preserve our reputations while seeking the approval of men over the approval of God. We are called to not simply get over ourselves, but to crucify ourselves so that pro-life is a really, really good thing to say. And if we cry out to the Lord that we would not be forgotten in our helplessness, what of the innocent ones? Oh, like Job, they assuredly want someone to make their case. They want to be remembered because they too were gifted with life. They want an indelible record, a durable cast. They want it written in lead, so that when the sun shines on their defense, the letters would be caused to be glistened. They want their lives remembered on a rock that will stand forever. They want their gift of life to be lasting, and it consumes them with longing within them. But unlike John, who got to leap for joy, his little brothers and sisters feel their kidneys fail. They kick against and feel the pain of being slaughtered, being robbed of life. Who will vindicate them? And who will restore us who fall short of doing what we ought to do, and renew us so that we may do what is beyond our ability? Job and the innocent ones and the other children of Adam like you and me are lifted up by the words given to Job, which make the brightest biblical scholars scratch their heads. How can Job find in God, who has seemingly abandoned him, the same God who would also vindicate him? This is a paradox, and human reason fails in the face of it. But Job holds the judge to another one of his offices. He is also the Redeemer. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold, and not another." Job's hope is not in his own righteousness, but in the Redeemer. And he knew the truth that even after his body died, that same body would be restored to life. Job is revealing the glorious resurrection of the body because finally someone will stand for life. The Redeemer will stand for life. He does stand for life. For those who die, but not merely for those who die, but also for those who are murdered. The kinsman Redeemer in God's holy law was the nearest of kin who guaranteed the security and rights of his fellow kinsmen, so that whenever a member of the clan was murdered, a kinsman redeemer had the responsibility to avenge his brother's blood. The Redeemer Jesus took on flesh of his little brothers and sisters, and while his verdict against all sin is death, his vindication is life that conquers death. The Redeemer stands for life, so that when he avenges, death itself is murdered. And Job won't let us underestimate the Redeemer's miraculous etched in stone vindication. The horror of abortion is the utter destruction of the body. But Job is stronger. He rests on Jesus. He's no stranger to the idea, therefore, that he is saying that after his skin has been peeled off, after his body is utterly destroyed, yet in his flesh, with his own eyes, he would see God. The one whose hope was aborted would be raised and most certainly not forgotten. This is the verdict. And it is because the Redeemer came for sinners. Even when they are slaughtered, though they commit no crime, so that in his defense of the little ones, in his avenging of the little ones, in his rising up to in court to testify for the little ones, in standing for the little ones, they would by grace, through faith, be raised. To be redeemed is to be brought back and purchased back to life. This is a Redeemer's blood that does this for us. You are redeemed. This is what the Redeemer's resurrection for us guarantees. And it is for all the little children, even for those born and who grow old on earth, they too, by grace through faith in the Redeemer, will be gloriously raised. There is no greater hope. There is no better vindication against the invader called death. This is the hope we must extend to one another and to the world. This hope will lead us to affirm that we are ambassadors of the Redeemer. We are called to proclaim his life, for he's standing today, standing this day for life. My parish in Texas participated on an annual basis in 40 days for life. We were praying and reading the Psalms in front of the abortion clinic one day when a woman came up to me and asked if she could join us. As we welcomed her as our sister in Christ, tears came flooding down her face as she asked for forgiveness. She knelt on the street confessing her abortion. I knelt in front of her and I pronounced the Redeemer's absolution. The Redeemer stands for life. She was restored to life, and she will be raised. The very young couple in my parish who gave me this stole that I'm wearing today were overjoyed for the twins the Lord had created in her womb. They prayed. They praised God. Then the day of sadness came. The twins were born much too soon. Overwhelmed with grief, by grace they held to the Redeemer. Better said, the Redeemer held them. They called me to the hospital to baptize the twins during the few hours they had. A few weeks later, they gifted me again with this handmade stole, constructed with the conviction that their twins, Noah Doyle and Travis Shane, had and have a Redeemer who stands for life. Through the blood, through the flood of holy baptism, these precious lambs were restored to life and they will be raised. The little girl in the womb, with no one praying over her, with no audible word of God, with no means of grace coming in contact with her that we know of. What about her? What about her is a scene in Job. God is nowhere to be seen, but then his word is revealed. The Redeemer will stand. Is there any doubt that he stands for those in this predicament? And in this glorious revelation, he stands for the forgotten, for those who appear to have absolutely no hope. This is not universalism, but it is universal grace. And let's just say that we are always wise to sin on the side of grace, while being convinced that our call is to stand for all the unborn. Why? Because the world's Redeemer is still standing today. And there is positively no doubt that He desires restoration and resurrection for every single one. And now, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, who takes up the little ones in His arms to bless them until He comes again in glory. Amen.